I Carrot About You by Irene, Seth Jonesy, and Without Pants. Read by Hana Nobira. One morning, Sid wakes from troubled dreams to find himself curled on his pillow, transformed into a small black rabbit. He twitches his rabbit nose in confusion and springs up off his pillow, suddenly aware of his strangely short arms, his long ears, and his larger butt. Well, somewhat larger, anyway. Shit, he says. Or would, if he had normal-sized teeth and a voice box. This may actually be more problematic than the concussion. Rabbits can't navigate stairs. Or at least Sid can't. His house has a long flight of them, twining down to the stupidly grandiose foyer. But the first matter of importance is to get off the bed, which seems rather daunting when there's a drop of 3 times his height involved. Being a rabbit is hard. Sid is a rational and sensible person, so naturally, when he hears the spare key in the front door, he squirm-flops his way off of the bed and noses open his closet door. Which is where Gino finds him, trembling, nestled in on one of his yellow Crocs. "Rabbit!" Gino says, huge in the closet doorway with an unholy gleam in his eye. Sid knows that look. It's the one he gives the neighbor's dog, the ugly little pug with the stout legs, and the ones he had during the calendar shoot, when Sid stuck around just to make sure he wouldn't try to walk out with one of the puppies. Gino is one fluffy chick away from quitting hockey to become an animal hoarder, and normally Sid would be around to stop him, but, well, rabbit. He tries glaring mulishly instead, but Gino just beams wider and reaches down to pick him up, croc and all. "Where's Sid?" asks Gino, large, precise fingers rubbing between his rabbit ears. Sid sighs and presses up into his hand. The fortunate thing about being a rabbit, Sid thinks, is that when you are a rabbit, all other complaints pale in comparison to the simple problems of being a rabbit. For example, laundry. Impossible to do without opposable thumbs. Whether to go home for Christmas or stay in Pittsburgh? A moot point, as it's quite possibly illegal for a rabbit to buy a plane ticket. How to solve the ongoing tussle over whether your sort of live-in boyfriend slash teammate is actually your live-in boyfriend, or just some guy you happen to drag home to fuck and be fed by every few days? You can't fight if you can't speak English. Also, Gino can't be his boyfriend if Sid's a rabbit. That would be very strange. All of this to say, are there downsides to being a rabbit? Absolutely. But it's nice to have someone who will pet him and feed him bits of dried papaya without shouting, occasionally in Russian, about just what the word boyfriend means. Gino has been in Sid's house for 3 hours, petting him and cooing over him and generally acting like he's about to stuff Sid into his coat pocket and take him home and keep him forever, when he mutters something to himself in Russian and pulls out his phone. "Zenon," he says in greeting, and Sid thumps his back leg as hard as he can, which, frankly, feels quite strange. Gino pets soothingly between his ears. "Malkin?" Konopka responds. "Have question about rabbit." "Right," Konopka says immediately, followed shortly thereafter by, "What?" "Rabbit, what like to eat?" "Well, I mean, Hoppy likes leafy greens, Kayla's his favorite, and, you know, stuff you think about when you think about rabbits. Carrots. Hey, lots of water. Malkin, why? Actually, no, I don't need to know about this. Have rabbit. Is not problem," Gino responds cheerfully. "Thank you." Sid thumps his back foot unhappily again, and Gino just keeps on petting him. "We go get you food," he says fondly, picking Sid up and tucking him against his chest and walking him to the kitchen. Sid is incredibly disgruntled. After consuming a few leaves each of spinach and kale, a baby carrot, and 4 tiny pieces of apple, Sid is still disgruntled, Gino is still cooing like a complete love-struck lunatic, and Sid is no closer to A, not being a rabbit, or B, letting Gino know that the animal he has been fondling for the last 3.5 hours is, in fact, his maybe live-in boyfriend. This is unacceptable. He will fix it. "Wonder what's Sid doing?" Gino asks wistfully, for what must be the 15th time. Sid nips his hand and thumps his back leg again, which Gino apparently takes as a sign that he wants to be petted some more. Sid reluctantly allows himself to be gently rubbed from ear to tail before returning to his senses. There's a Post-Gazette on the coffee table. Sid likes the physical paper, likes the routine of reading the sports section every day, and there's an article about him and Giroux that he'd been particularly looking forward to reading, especially given the Flyers' horrendous and gratifying start to the year. Sid wobbles out across Gino's thigh and hops from his knee to the coffee table, then begins to nip and chew Giroux's face off the front page with single-minded intensity. "Good choice," Gino says solemnly. "See why Sid like you." Sid turns and stares at him. When Gino just continues to look at him, half-charmed like he always is around animals or small children, Sid looks back at the paper and noses at his own name in the headline. "How you know? You read?" Gino asks jokingly, and Sid stares. And stares. And stares. "Sid?" Gino asks reluctantly, clearly horrified at himself for doing so. Sid nods so hard he topples over. "Fuck," Gino says feelingly. "No, no, real sick. Is Sid. Of course is sick of no practice," Gino explains patiently. Sid, if he had long enough arms to do so, would have his head tucked in them. "Well, why isn't he calling me himself?" Gino looks over at Sid, clearly panicked, because obviously he's never skipped any of his responsibilities to play hockey, or he'd know how to lie better. Sid turns his gaze pointedly to the bathroom, and Gino nods slowly and trots over, faking retching sounds and then flushing the toilet. "Okay, fine, you made your point," Bylsma says hurriedly. "Tell him to stay at home until he feels better. Really, no need to hurry back. You, though, you have one day at playing nursemaid, and then you're back on the ice. See you tomorrow, G." Gino hangs up and holds his hand up for a high five until he figures it out and looks ashamed. Sid is stupidly enamored of him and also a softie. So he bounces over and knocks his head against Gino's outstretched hand. For all the things that being a rabbit makes easier, food, luring your maybe boyfriend in for cuddles without feeling needy, it's still an issue that when Sid drinks a lot of water, he has to, well, bodily fluid stuff still kind of grosses him out. He's sitting on Gino's chest, his eyes half closing while the contours of his ears are gently traced, when the call of nature strikes, and he realizes he can't shut the bathroom door or use the toilet without falling in. Fuck. Sid nudges Gino's chin with his nose. "Hmm?" Gino says, rousing himself from the petting stupor. In answer, Sid hops down and over to the glass sliding door. "Yes, play outside," Gino says enthusiastically, and Sid burns bright red under his rabbit fur. "What we play?" he asks when they're outside, and Sid meaningfully looks at him and then turns around to find a sufficiently leafy bush. "Love hide-and-seek," Gino calls after him. After a rousing game of tag, which Sid handily wins, Gino plops him back on the bench in his kitchen and makes them both dinner. Gino barely makes it through his chicken, and Sid barely threw a few leaves of romaine before Gino picks him up. "We go to bed now," he announces, and Sid would protest, but Gino's chest is broad and warm, and his hands are strong and comforting. Also, Sid can't speak English. Gino places Sid gently on the bed and disappears into the bathroom, presumably to brush his teeth. By the time he gets back, Sid has maneuvered himself to the head of the bed and is settled on his normal pillow. Gino gets in on his side of the bed, wearing the sweats that he thinks he stealthily put in Sid's bathroom weeks ago, but which Sid found and just decided not to bring up. "Night, Sid," Gino yawns, rolling over and throwing an arm onto Sid's side of the bed, like usual. Sid half-heartedly noses Gino's hand before curling up on his pillow and drifting off to Gino's familiar snores. The next morning, Sid wakes up from peaceful dreams to find himself tucked against Gino's side, warm and definitely not a rabbit. "Morning," he says, pushing gently at Gino's chest. "Hmm," Gino hums, nuzzling sleepily into his neck. "Good morning, Krasavchik," Hmm? Sid says. Gino just shakes his head drowsily. Come on, I'll make you coffee before practice, Sid says temptingly, and wrenches himself away despite Gino's bereft groan. When Gino wanders into the kitchen, still stretching and yawning, he slops a kiss against Sid's cheek. Yesterday was dream? No, Sid says slowly. But we're never talking about it again. Well, you make cute rabbit, Gino says, nodding decisively to himself. Sid flushes and elbows him in the ribs before handing him his usual mug, the one with dancing penguins all around the rim. After practice, Gino follows him home. When he parks and Sid raises his eyebrow in question, Gino just shrugs and wanders into the living room, plopping down on the big couch. You have HBO, he offers finally, though he flips to the NHL Network. It's my house, Sid lies unrepentantly, nestling against him while Gino's smile gets bigger. We'll watch my channels. You know, Sid, Gino says with a Cheshire grin. Big house, very lonely. Maybe we get one rabbit, just small. No, Sid says firmly, his nose twitching derisively, and he reaches for the remote to flip to a rerun of Friends. The end.